At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Monday morning to you. It is Guessing Lines, week 6. Looking forward in the National Football League. Gil Alexander, glad you could join us. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, VSiN, of course, .com, I mentioned. And, of course, don't forget YouTube TV. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada alongside my mishpucha who runs the South Point Hotel Casino here on the tip of the strip, Chrissy Andrews. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you.
A tough day for you yesterday?
Yeah. Very, very, very bad day.
What killed you the most yesterday?
Green Bay Landing 3. That didn't help. We had a late rush on Tampa Bay. You know, I guess we had a little prayer early, but that was thorough domination on their part. Those were probably the biggest. Then last night, last week on this show, I told you how I liked Buffalo. I ran that game at 2.5 when a lot of the market had 3. I ran at 2.5 more than anybody in the world. And they kicked off, and I still needed the Chiefs for like this much. You know, the public overpowered everybody on that game, and they were 100% right.
So Saturday though, did you have a great day, or because there was outright upsets, you didn't?
Saturday we had a decent day. I mean, we escaped Saturday. We made a little bit, not much. But it was one of those days where right from the get-go, we were fighting from behind all day. Texas was a big decision for us. We needed Texas. I thought we had that one in the bag.
Sure,
you know,
did.
It was one of those deals where fighting all day, wound up at the end of the day, made a little bit, you know. And when I talked to Michael Gaughan late Saturday night, I told him what our figure was. He says, "Wow, you actually made money today." Because I told him the sides we needed. We lost a lot of games. But, Alabama, that upset really helped quite a bit.
What a Saturday of college football.
That was a great Saturday of college football. But, going back to Thursday we had 5 games. We had 1 NFL game, 2 baseball games, 2 college football games. We lost all 5. So the weekend started bad. You always have live stuff going into Saturday, and then of course Sunday, and it was a bad week.
I can hear the streaming of tears now from everybody listening.
Always cry for it. We're the biggest bunch of whiners in the world. I've said it a million times.
All right,
don't cry for us.
So for those tuning in for the first time, this is a tribute to the old Stardust show of the same ilk. I'm in a cocoon. I'm guessing the lines of week 6. I don't know them. I will guess them. Sometimes I will be embarrassed by what I guess. Chrissy will tell me afterwards what he's going to post. They're not up at the South Point behind us quite yet. They will be after the show. Literally, we go through this exercise, and then Chrissy puts them up. And, of course, in that process, we go through each and every Week 5 game from yesterday and review it all, the good, the bad, the ugly. Survivor, teasers, all of it. Let us begin. Jeff Parles is here as well, producer number 8, producer number 5. Jeffrey, good morning.
Good morning.
Let us begin with Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday night, the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road in Philadelphia against the Eagles.
And we do have byes this week.
Yes. The Jets, the Falcons, the Saints, and the 49ers are on bye this week.
Jets and Falcons, I guess we should talk about that first, yesterday in London.
Do we have to?
That was a long, between the London game at 6:30 a.m. Pacific, all the way through the lightning delay of the Chiefs-Bills game. That's about a 16-hour day of football. No, 15-hour day of football. That is, it was a lot of football yesterday. But that's why we love it. But the Jets yesterday, just the ending sequence of that game, they fall behind 17-0. And then Robert Saleh down 2 scores. That last sequence kills me, where it's like, just kick a field goal. You had a shot with 52 seconds left to kick a 51-yarder. Then you had a shot with 35 seconds left to kick a 31-yarder. Just kick the field goal and give yourself a chance. Instead, he like runs it down to 17 seconds before they take a sack, and they end up kicking a 49-yard field goal, which is great for those of us who had Jets teasers, don't get me wrong. But it just didn't seem like the way to play that.
Well, and even the announcer was saying, boy, I'd go for the touchdown here.
Really?
Why?
Have you not been paying attention? People figured this out about 10, 15 years ago. No, go for the field goal, then try to get the ball back.
Anybody who's played Madden.
Anybody? I've never played Madden, but that's what I hear.
Anybody. Anyway, so those are two of the bye teams. They will take their bye after the London game. Not everybody is taking their bye after the London game this year, by the way. Some teams have opted not to do that. It is the team's choice. All right, so Thursday again was Tampa Bay at who?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. So Tampa Bay, as we just talked about, Chris just alluded to, Tampa Bay ends up beating Miami and ends up beating them thoroughly in this one behind Tom Brady, who goes 30 of 41 for 411. 5 touchdowns, no picks, sacked twice. Buccaneers win it 45-17. Total flies over 48. Tampa Bay easily covers the 11 in the end. It's the 8th career game for Brady with 5 touchdowns and no picks. That's the most ever in the history of the NFL. By the way, it's his first career game ever. Imagine at this age, 44 years old, his first career game ever where he threw for 400-plus yards and had 5 touchdowns. They outscored Miami 21-0 in the 4th quarter. Like you said, it was... You might have had a shot with Miami early, but by the end, it was ridiculous. Fournette, 12 for 67 on the ground and a touchdown, 4 catches, 43 yards. Antonio Brown, 7 for 124, 2 touchdowns. Evans, 6 for 113, 2 touchdowns. Godwin, 7 for 70. A 33-17 advantage in first downs. The Bucs were 8 of 11 on third downs. They had 558 total yards. 558. Plus 2 in turnovers, 37-07 to 22-53 advantage in time of possession. You get the idea. Domination for the 4-1 Bucks. And then there's Philadelphia. Philadelphia beats the Panthers in the end. Jalen Hurts, 22 of 37 for 198. No touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked twice. 9 carries, 30 yards, 2 touchdowns as he kills the opposition with his legs. Devontae Smith, 7 catches for 77 yards. Not much to say about Philadelphia other than... I've maintained, how do I couch it with Philly? Some people want to make them into that worst group of NFL teams, and I've resisted that from the beginning. I'm not saying they're winning a Super Bowl, but they do have the ability with Hurts to really sneak up on you. 21-18, they sneak up on the Panthers and win that game. All that said, Tampa Bay is going to be a very big favorite. I will say 6 on the road.
Well, you're a little light. I see 1.5 with a lot of juice on the favorite. But almost all 7s. My power ratings come to 7.5. I think I prefer 7. 7.5 is like an automatic take in a spot like this. So I prefer 7. That's exactly what I'm going to open. By the way, I did have a tweet from a guy, and he made a really good point. All these years that we've been doing this, I always mention QBR. I haven't been mentioning it this year.
Yes.
Really, part of it is because you do such a thorough job, your forensic analysis of the day before, your autopsy. Yeah. But just to mention, Tom Brady, 80.5, which this is on a 0 to 100 scale.
Jeez.
That's pretty damn good. And then, I mean, we'll talk about we have all year to talk about Tom Brady. It's just incredible what he's doing. And I was surprised that Jalen Hurts was so low, 31.1.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I think they... they beat a team that, we have to talk about it. I think maybe I had a little overrated and missing Christian McCaffrey and some other things.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think seven's a good number. That's what I'm going
to
open.
All right. And throw Philly into the group of so many NFL teams that from week to week are very, very difficult to figure out, especially when a betting line is involved. What's the first on Sunday morning, Jeff?
If you thought this week in London was bad, get ready for this. Dolphins, Jaguars.
Oh, that's a London game. Back-to-back London. Yeah. Jaguars where they're most comfortable in London. They always play a game in London. The 1-4 Dolphins against the 0-5 Jaguars. Enjoy, England. Jacoby Brissett in that loss to the Bucks, 27 of 39 for 275, two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked three times. Miles Gaskin was his major help, five carries for 25, 10 catches for 74, two touchdowns, as I mentioned, a 33-17 disadvantage in first downs and a 37-07-22-53 disadvantage in time of possessions. Time of possession, minus two in turnovers. That snapped the streak yesterday, did, of 26 straight games for the Dolphins with a takeaway. 26 in a row, no takeaways yesterday. And then there's Jacksonville. They're the second team in NFL history now to lose 20 straight. The other one, for those of a certain age, you will remember the expansion Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 1976 and 77 when they went 0-14 and 0-12 to start their second season before winning the last two games of the season. The Jaguars are also the first team since 1962 with zero made field goals in the first five games of a season. That's unbelievable.
Whoa. Say that again?
They're the first team since 1962, the Jaguars, with zero made field goals in the first five games of a season.
I did not realize that.
That's 59 years of football. That's incredible. Trevor Lawrence, 23 of 33 for 273, one touchdown, one pick, sacked twice, seven carries, 28 yards, and a touchdown. But apparently, they can't sneak a 6'6" quarterback at the goal line.
Yeah.
That's not
And line up in shotgun with no running back.
James Robinson, who, again, Urban Meyer discovered miraculously 2 weeks ago, 18 carries for 149, a touchdown, 454 total yards in defeat for the Jaguars, losing yesterday to the Titans. They were minus two in turnovers. That game didn't end up being close either. I'll say it's Miami. I mean, it's in London.
Yeah.
It's Miami. It's Jacksonville. I guess, you know, I said Miami minus 2.5. I couldn't quite make it a field goal, but I didn't really know what to do with this.
Well, it was three up to a couple minutes ago. And just as we're, just right as we're talking, Tua Tagovailoa, I'm sure I pronounced that wrong,
yeah.
Looks like he's going to make his start.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know that that affects your number.
It would affect mine. It would, for sure.
But meanwhile, I'm looking back at yesterday's numbers. Again, we were talking about QBR. Jacoby Brissett was better than I thought, 58.8.
Mm-hmm.
And Lawrence, where am I at with Lawrence, And he was in the 31.8. But anyway, my numbers come higher. I just think this Jacksonville team is, you know, really bad. And the Dolphins, I think, ran into a buzzsaw yesterday. I know we're running out of time. My power ratings come to six. I'm definitely going to open 3.5. And if I see it higher, and I do see 3.5, I might open 4 here with Tagovailoa starting. I'm going to write down 4 for now.
Hmm. Yeah, I said it would affect my life. It would put it at 3. Not yeah. Like it wouldn't affect it tremendously, but yeah.
Well, it's 3.5, but I think I'm going to open 4 because I think Jacksonville just looks horrible to me.
All right. We'll guess some more. Those two games aren't that fun. We'll come back guessing lines on a Monday morning here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews here as well, Jeff Parlay. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Clint Steele. The world would be a better place if every NFL game was managed with the cerebral cortexes.
I didn't know that one.
I don't know if he's pluralizing it correctly. Of Kevin Stefanski and Brandon Staley. Oh, yes, we'll get to that. Philly Boy LV. Gil, I know today's guessing lines. You're going to try and squeeze a pick on the show or tennis or no time? Yes, I will have tennis picks. Because we have buys, we have time. So we'll give I'll give out 3 tennis picks today. 3. Let's see what happens today at Indian Wells, which has not been as good as the U.S. Open in terms of the numbers manifesting. Let me just say that. This has been much choppier. But I do have 3 tennis picks. We've got to talk about the fight this weekend as well. We've got to talk about the quadruple header in baseball as well. What a day it is today. We do get a second quadruple header. Fadi Bahura, good morning and happy guessing lines Monday. Tell Yolanda that, he says.
I saw that one.
Tell Yolanda that. John Fitzgibbons. Gil, so many we bet on this stuff candidates. When is that going to be on a t-shirt, by the way? Cincinnati Green Bay was a kicking fiasco. Last few minutes of Minnesota-Detroit qualified. But I'm a survivor. But the biggest might have been MLB. Hope you have had time to touch on Boston, Tampa Bay, and today's quadruple header. We'll get to it all. A nice tweet here from the charitable gambler. Also, he's been tracking our first reactions on guessing lines.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about this show, you know, because there's some people, the lines are all out there. What do you mean the South Point doesn't have them up? What do you mean you don't know them? That's the point of the exercise. It's our first reaction to it. We sit in our authentic bubble here and do it. And that's the point of the exercise, to find value that way on First Instinct, and it has worked out so far this year. So thank you, Charitable Gambler.
It's worked out for a lot of years.
Yeah, for a lot of years. He said 5-2 the last 3 weeks, blending the numbers and the initial handicap. This week's episode about to start. And then DeGen Southern Gent. Sure, the NFL is great, but Gil, I'm seeing a lot of tasty plus money in the WTA today. I love guessing lines. But you're our Prince of Penn, our Duke of Deuce, our Viking of Volley, our head honcho. Don't leave your tennis faithful out in the cold. I won't. We will have tennis picks coming up. Next game, Jeffrey. Sunday morning.
Well, now we're back to our regular slate of games, and we start with Houston at Indy.
Houston started that game yesterday with an 18-play, 79-yard drive to go up 7-0. And I believe, Jeffrey, you called it the greatest half of coaching in the career of David Culley.
And it probably will stand that way for the rest of the season.
He went for a couple fourth downs, didn't he?
Went for 4th and 2 in his own end. It was incredible.
Followed his gut, as he said he would. Anyway, they went way up in this game. Texans did over the Patriots. Was it 22-9? 22-9. Patriots scored the last 16. Davis Mills, though, 21 of 29 for 312, 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. Chris Moore, 5 catches for 109 and a touchdown. Chris Conley, 3 catches for 84 and a touchdown. Anyway, you know what happened. New England ends up winning it, 25-22. Couldn't quite get to the finish line, and New England survivors survive. I was going to pick New England and survivor, but then the offensive line, by the end of the week, was decimated with injuries and COVID concerns. 4 of their starting offensive linemen didn't play, so you couldn't. It would be irresponsible, I thought, to play the Patriots. Patriots survivor players get there anyway. Texans are in Indianapolis. We haven't seen Indianapolis yet. They play tonight against Baltimore, but this has to be, despite Houston playing a good half of football, and a good half in change, by the way, Indianapolis is going to be a big favorite, I would imagine. I'll say 7.5 at a minimum. I'll say 7.5. I'm going to guess I'm light here.
You're way light. It's 10 pretty much everywhere.
Whoa.
My power ratings come to 11.
Wow.
That could be a little high, but of course, we got to see. I'm going to open 10, you know, sight unseen tonight. A couple things. Last week, you know what? And this is on me. I failed to mention Houston, or more correctly, New England was a home dog that had gone to a road favorite.
Yes.
I should have pointed that out.
Yes.
I did not. A mea culpa on my part. The other thing I want to point out: David Mills, who I know virtually nothing about.
Davis Mills, yeah.
Davis Mills. Uh-huh. There you go. 81.1 was his QBR. That's like Brady category.
Davis Mills, who was a good, you know, a fine enough quarterback at Stanford, but really, like, the buzz on him to be a draft pick happened like in the last hour.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like, wait, Davis Mills is going to be the third quarterback drafted? What? When did this happen?
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
He?
Not third. But he played
really well yesterday without a lot of help. Well, theoretically, but you gave some numbers that a lot of those players played well. But credit Davis Mills. Anyway, I'm going to open 10.
So let me just say this, and we haven't seen the Colts yet again. They play the Ravens tonight. I don't know that the Colts should be favored by 10 over everybody.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
And even I'm looking at the total, relatively low, 43. That's 10's a lot of points for a total of 43. You know, like I said, you know, power ratings. Some guy tweeted me one. What good's your power ratings if you don't just open that number, Colt?
Right.
Power ratings is a place to start.
Right.
That's what it is. It's a place to start.
People got stuff to say.
Oh, my God.
Next.
Hopefully, I have enough time for this one. Green Bay at Chicago.
Oh, no. So, I'm not going to do a whole, like, Rams-Seahawks autopsy like we did on Friday where we went, like, blow-by-blow with the Michigas of that game. But I do have to say something about this Green Bay-Cincinnati game yesterday. Green Bay wins it in overtime, 25-22. If you miss this game, I don't even know what to tell you because there'll never be anything like it again. First of all, Aaron Rodgers started the game 4 of 9 for 33 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick. He finishes, as he is so accustomed to doing. 27 of 39 for 344. Two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked twice. 11 total touchdowns and one pick during the Packers' four-game win streak for Rodgers. Aaron Jones, 14 carries for 103 yards. And Devontae Adams, you just might as well put a string between Rodgers and Adams. Yeah. 11 catches for 206 and a touchdown. 466 total yards. Remember, it went to overtime. The Packers now 23-0 straight up in the regular season under LaFleur when they win the turnover margin. They were plus one yesterday. But here's the Michigas I was talking about yesterday. So if you miss this, it's hard to even imagine. So Mason Crosby misses a extra point in the second quarter. Let's start there. Bengals were up 7-0, so it maintained 7-6. And then, you know, Mason Crosby stretch where he made a 44-yarder in the second quarter to put Green Bay up 9-7. Then he made the extra point in the second quarter to put Green Bay up 16-7. Then he made a 44-yard field goal in the third quarter to put him up 19-14. Even made a 22-yard chip shot in the fourth quarter to put Green Bay up 22-14. Then, starting with 2:12 left in the fourth quarter, Crosby misses a 36-yarder that could have put Green Bay up. Then the Bengals, with 26 seconds left in the game, in the fourth quarter in regulation, Evan McPherson misses a 57-yarder. Okay, you know, so what? You miss a 57-yarder. By the way, then the Packers get the ball back and they get within field goal range and Mason Crosby misses a 51-yarder. So you're like, all right, well, at least it was two over 50 after that one Mason Crosby miss on the chip shot. This can't get crazier. Oh, yes, it does. It goes to overtime. Crosby misses a 40-yarder with 8:12 left in overtime. Where you say, oh, this is, and by the way, that was after a pick, so they could have won the game with it. Missed it. Then Zach Taylor on 4th-and-1 at the Green Bay 32 with 4:19 left in overtime sends out McPherson to kick a 49-yarder instead of going for it. He misses. Then 4th-and-1 at the Cincinnati 32 with 2 minutes left in overtime, LaFleur says, Crosby, why don't you go out and kick a 49-yarder? He ends up sinking it for the win. Five combined missed field goals from the 2:12 mark of the fourth quarter to the end of the game. It's the first time since 1991 where you had four straight missed field goals in the final 3 minutes and overtime. They're at Chicago. Justin Fields and the Bears somehow beat the Raiders. We'll get to it more when we talk about the Raiders. But Fields was 12 of 20 for 111, one touchdown, no picks, sacked twice. Khalil Mack, 8 tackles, a sack, also sacked Carr on a two-point conversion. Green Bay's going to be a favorite here. I guessed 5.5. I put it in no man's land. I didn't know where else to put it.
Power ratings come to 7. Mm-hmm. It's 4.5, pretty solid. I'm going to open 5. I'm with you. I'm not very impressed with what the Bears did yesterday. Again, QBR. Rodgers, 68.6. Fields, 26.2.
Yeah.
So pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not an impressive win, I don't think, by the Bears.
No.
Not that it was that impressive by the Packers. But real quick, Ryan Grounie, the general manager, walks into my office just as, like, the Packers have the ball. What's going on? I said, well, we're trying to keep this Packer game off 3. Well, that doesn't look good. I said, no, but they just missed 5 straight field goals. He said, what? He was just incredulous. What are you talking about? I said, Brian, I'm telling you, you've never seen anything like this, and I think your stats would confirm that. You've never seen anything like this in your life in NFL football. They missed 5 straight field goals. And, of course, they make the last one to put us right on 3.
It's incredible. The Bears are 3-2, by the way.
I know.
And I have no idea how.
Yeah, believe me, I looked at Jimmy last night, and the Bears were 3-2.
They're 3-2. We'll come back. More guessing lines, tennis picks, yes. We'll talk baseball. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, Jeff Parlay. You're right. The gentleman on Twitter was right. We bet on this stuff. That should be a T-shirt. Never has that been more apropos than in this NFL season. Because we were talking beforehand, and we'll get to Minnesota and how most of us got through in Survivor yesterday. But just think about it intuitively. Think how hard Survivor is, where you are tasked with picking one team, one, to just win a football game. That's your entire task in Survivor, and how difficult that is. And then you think you're going to win at this, betting five against the spread every week? Come on. What are we doing? Though we try.
Oh, yeah.
Though we try.
I talked to some guys, you know, they look all these statistical analysis and this and that. You know, can't get one until... What do you do? Wait till week 16 to make your first bet of the year? Is that what you're going to do?
Is that what's going to happen?
I'm sorry. That's not our life.
He's like, yes, as a matter of fact, I am.
Okay.
What is next, Jeffrey? Sunday morning, week 6.
Kansas City at Washington.
What about the Chiefs yesterday? Whoa. By the way, this is 2-3 teams. Would you put the number at Kansas City and Washington meeting both at 2-3 in week 6? Kansas City gets housed by Buffalo last night, 38-20, in a game that was every bit that much of a margin, really, quite frankly. Mahomes was 33-54, 272, two touchdowns, but he had two picks. Sacked twice, 8 carries, 61 yards. His biggest help was Mecole Hardman, actually, in the end, 9-76. But the Chiefs allowed 436 total yards of offense from the Bills, and they were -4 in turnovers. So, you know, that'll do it every time. But I will say this about this game, and I said to Jeff before the show, I was like, was it because we had a London game early and then we had the lightning delay that by the time the second half rolled, like what were the forces that made you sort of just want to go to sleep? One, those of us who had the Chiefs were on the wrong side. That's the first reason. Yeah. Two, it was a long day. But three, the officials got so involved in this game last night that it was virtually unwatchable. And the most egregious example of that was when KC cut it to 31-20. Remember in the second half, you were like, all right, they're down 11. You almost have the full fourth quarter to play. And then there was this sequence where the Bills had it 3rd and 9 at their own 16 with 12:13 left. There was a phantom hold on Buffalo after it looked like Buffalo had gotten a first down. And then the next play, 3rd and 17 at their own 8, there was a roughing the passer that should never have been a roughing the passer. And then the Bills went ahead and matriculated the ball down the field, 38-20. Katie barred the door. It got to the right result, but in the most ridiculous kind of way. Even Al Michaels was like, really? Are we really calling that?
Yeah, I remember that play.
Washington loses to New Orleans. Taylor Heinicke, 20-41 for 248. No touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked twice. Did carry the ball 5 times for 40 yards. Antonio Gibson, 20-60 and 2 touchdowns. Humphreys, Adam Humphreys, 3 catches for 73 yards. But the biggest play of that Washington game was the Hail Mary to end the first half from Jameis. And that was kind of the deal. Washington had their chances, but once that happened, they were always behind the eight ball. They lose 33-22. Kansas City will be a big favorite against Washington, who's secondary. I have a buddy of mine. I don't know if you have a buddy of this, a buddy like this in Pittsburgh. But my oldest friend and my best friend in the world, Tommy, we've known each other since we were 6 years old. And so for over four decades, after Washington football team games, we always have a phone call. And, you know, it used to be when we were kids, we would do it for an hour. Now it's like 90 seconds maybe, and we're out. But what did we say yesterday? It's just like, this secondary is terrible. And the front line doesn't really generate enough pressure to help them out. And it's out of nowhere. Like, this is the same, mostly the same guys from last year. What's going on with this defense? We have no explanation. There's really no explanation. Not like they're older. They're a young, up-and-coming team, you would think. They're not very fun to watch, quite frankly. I'll say Kansas City -6.
That's exactly what my power ratings come to. But I see 6.5 as the number. I'm not going to dicker with that for half a point.
Dicker. Bingo. That's right.
We got a lot more. That's one square. QBRs. Mahomes 48.2. Under 50. 24.8 for Heineke. I have what I admit is a very rudimentary grading system. Kansas City, the 10th best team in the league.
I think that's kind of accurate.
I think it is, too. I lowered them quite a bit on my power ratings. They're just not playing all that well.
Wasn't the biggest thing about last night's game is that not only did the defense do exactly what you thought they would, which is be really bad at football, but even the offense looked like everything, like they're going to have to keep up with Buffalo.
Yeah.
And you didn't really have the confidence that they could.
Yeah, and I looked at total QBR. Now we're through week five. You know, Mahomes is still at the top of the list. But yesterday was not one of his better performances. And, you know, Josh Allen thoroughly outplayed him. No question about it. You know, and I know, and matter of fact, we had a tweet about a guy. We're talking about Justin Herbert maybe being the best young quarterback. He's, I don't know, it's Josh Allen for sure. I'll tell you what, that's a conversation we can have. It's pretty close.
Does Buffalo now become the AFC favorite?
Yeah, you know, I did my power ratings. I should have them up here. They're clear of everybody right now. I think I have them 2 points better than anybody else. Yeah, they're 2 points better than anybody else. That's pretty significant in the NFL.
I'm sure we'll see that reflected in the betting numbers as well. Yeah. Jeff, next. I don't like any of these so far in terms of value. Because I don't want to bet Houston. I don't want to sprint to the counter.
You sure you don't want to bet David Culley?
You're positive? Sure. Pretty sure.
Back-to-back covers it would have to be, too?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Vikings and Panthers.
Okay. Survivor. Vikings. Kirk Cousins. Got it done. Thank you. 25 of 34 yesterday for 275. A touchdown, a pick, sacked twice. And what's that man's name? Alexander Mattison. 25 carries for 113. But a massive fumble lost at the end of this game, or close to the end, which we'll talk about momentarily. Justin Jefferson might have kept the Vikings here in this game, or ahead in this game single-handedly. 7 catches for 124. Everson Griffin had 2 big sacks. So the Vikings were up 16-9 in this game, and they were trying to milk the clock to basically leave 1:20 left for the Lions to try to go downfield for a touchdown. They would have no timeouts. Instead, on a third down play, Alexander Mattison fumbles. It looked like his forward progress, quite frankly, should have been whistled dead. But as with everything in this league, everything is officiated inconsistently. And nope, no whistle. And they strip him of the ball. Yes, I get it. He shouldn't have been stripped. Should be more secure with the ball. But the Lions get the ball short field. So the Lions score a touchdown and go for two. Shout out Dan Campbell, and they get it. Get it. So with 37 seconds left, all of a sudden, all of us who had the Vikings and Survivor, and yeah, again, I switched from New England to the Vikings because of the New England offensive line woes. This was one of these games where the Vikings led the whole way through, but I even texted Mikey and Todd and E, I should wait for the end of this game to text this. But if we get through with the Vikings, we should all feel fortunate because the Lions have had numerous opportunities to get back in this game. And for whatever reason, the Lions just can't seem to get there until they did with 37 seconds left. But then in five plays, Kirk Cousins goes 46 yards in those 37 seconds. And with three left on the clock, Greg Joseph sinks it from 54 and the Vikings get through 19-17. Hit that Destiny's Child as many times as you want. They're at Carolina here. Carolina, we meant. Thank you. Lost to Philadelphia. Darnold was 21 of 37 for 177. One touchdown, three picks, sacked three times. He was Darnold-esque. Chuba Hubbard, 24 carries, 101, five catches, 33. Nine penalties for 69 for Carolina. I made Carolina a three-point favorite because I didn't know what else to do. I don't think Minnesota's particularly good. I don't know that Carolina is.
My power ratings come to Carolina 1.5. Right now I see one. I do see one and a half out there. But you know, I'm not going to – here we go, dicker. You got two pieces of corn on that bingo card. I'm not going to dicker with that. We're going to use one I think is okay. And again, I'm assuming no McCaffrey. If he's in, I'd probably raise it a little bit. But
I was assuming yes on McCaffrey.
You're assuming yes? I'm assuming no.
I thought he was going to play yesterday.
He was questionable and then obviously didn't play.
Yeah.
If it's McCaffrey, I might go up to the 1.5, which was what my power rating said. So I may do that.
Just
to
1.5.
Right. Well, yeah, we'll see, you know. But right now I wouldn't want to do it. By the way, I said something bad about Cousins last week. I said he's in the bottom third. I did, you know, total QBR. He's number 17 in QBR. So he's in the bottom half. Okay. And by the way, since we're mentioning QBRs, let's go. Cousins 28.2 yesterday. Jeez. Not good. Even worse.
You know what he was on that final drive? 100.0, baby.
Oh. Darnold, 18.2, which I think might be the low watermark.
Kirk, for all you did wrong in Washington,
yeah.
I thank you so much for yesterday's end. Coming back, Guessing Lines, we'll actually talk baseball, too, right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. All right, let's do one more football game here before the break. Guessing Lines continues.
All right. The Chargers at the Ravens.
Ooh. That's a game. Baltimore sight unseen. They play the Colts tonight. A lot of people have Baltimore in teasers still pending tonight. Chargers yesterday beat the Browns 47-42. Game of the day. And maybe the two teams along with the Bills, with apologies to the Chiefs, they're going to vie for the AFC. Justin Herbert, 26 of 43 for 398, four touchdowns, no picks, sacked twice yesterday, four carries for 29 yards and a touchdown. It was Justin Herbert. 11th year, 300 game. 11th. The most ever by a quarterback in his first two seasons. Ever. Anyone. 12 total touchdowns, no picks his last three games. Austin Eckler, 17 carries for 66 yards, two touchdowns, five catches for 53 and a touchdown. Mike Williams, 8 for 165, two touchdowns. Keenan Allen, 6 for 75. The Chargers scored 26 fourth quarter points. 26. But now here's.
And needed every one of them.
And needed every one of them. Here's the genius. Well, there's a few times. Let's go to Brandon Staley, who I now am convinced is the best coach in the National Football League. I will not be talked off this position. Yesterday, 4th and 2 at their own 24. 4th and 2 at their own 24, down 27-13, with 10:34 left in the third quarter. He goes for it. 9-yard gain. Because you know what Brandon Staley gets that no one else gets? If you're going to lose, lose by 100. It doesn't matter. But are we trying to win the game? You're playing to win the game. It's not going to work out every time. Sometimes he's going to go down in flames. But if that's Anthony Lynn coaching that game yesterday, or maybe anybody else, the Chargers might get beat by 3 or 4 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, after that, they matriculate the ball down the field. Then they go for 2. Down 8. Get that. And from 27-13, 4th and 2 at their own 24, it's 27-21, completely new ball game. Then 4th and 8, down 35-21, in field goal range of the Cleveland 24 with 7:48 left, goes for it again. 4th and 8, doesn't just kick the field goal to go from 14-11. 20-yard gain next play after that touchdown. Trailing 42-41, though, here's the best part of it all. 3rd and 2 at the Cleveland 11 with 1:47 left. Staley understands there's no point in scoring quick. So he instructs Eckler to slide short of the goal line. If you're going in the end zone, slide short. Eckler does that. He makes Cleveland use their last timeout, and he looks to milk the clock. Then, though, a little bit of an error.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than kneeling,
mm-hmm.
because obviously they don't trust Tristan Vizcaino at all, their kicker, they run a play, and the Browns push Eckler into the end zone. It's Staley versus Stefanski in a genius battle. What was your word, Parles? A symphony. This is beautiful. They fail to convert the two-point conversion, but the D holds it for a 47-42 win. 493 total yards. They gave up 531. There are your Los Angeles Chargers. I said a pick 'em. Chargers and Ravens sight unseen. I don't know what to make it.
My numbers come to pick 'em. Actually, the Chargers may be a half a point favorite. I see the Ravens mostly 3.5 with some juice on the dog or 3. I'm definitely
the Ravens
over.
are favored by 3.5.
I think that's crazy. I had to look at the injury list. Did something happen to Herbert?
Chargers.
We got our first play.
What?
Okay. And let me tell you that sight unseen. But if the Chargers were going to kick a field goal and try to win by 2, and I'm not sure if they were going to just figure Eckler could score again with no time remaining, why didn't he just kneel? You know,
I love that. Even you're sweating.
Oh, my God. I mean, if a 2-point Charger win would have been a thing of beauty for us, saved us a ton. Wouldn't have made us a winner for the day, but it would have saved us a ton. I mean, and then when they drag him into the end zone, I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. I know they're not going to come down and score as good as. And by the way, I don't get all the Baker Mayfield hatred, but we'll talk about that some other time. But I do. I think Staley's a great coach. I think Stefanski's a great coach. But how this game is 3 is just beyond me.
And you said even 3.5 is out
3.5 with juice.
They're both crazy.
Yeah, it's 3.5 with juice. I do see a 3 out there, which is exactly what I'm going to open. And by the way, these games that are 3s, oh, I know we're running out of time. Go ahead, I'll talk about
it. All right, we'll continue that on the other side of the break. I want to get Jeff's reaction to it, too. Coming back, guessing lines on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number 2 of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, Jeffrey Parlay is here as well. We buried the headline on one of the biggest themes of the NFL yesterday, if not the biggest, which is no one can make an extra point anymore. No one can make a field. We talked about it in the Green Bay-Cincinnati game. But here's David Bierman over at ESPN. Per ESPN stats and info, entering Sunday Night Football, this is before the Sunday Night game. I don't think anybody missed a kick in Sunday Night Football. There were 12 missed field goals and 12 missed extra points in week 5. Going back to Thursday night. Since the extra point was moved back in 2015, week 5 of this season is the first week in that span to have double-digit missed field goals and double-digit missed extra points. I don't know what happened when they moved that extra point back because it's still a chip shot field goal, right? Still would be considered a chip shot field goal. But something gets in the head of these guys, and all of a sudden, by the way, that's one of the best things the NFL did.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It made the game so much better.
Because it was such a non-play before that.
It was a non-play, right, exactly.
Before we move on, let's go back to that Chargers-Browns game. Because I think, again, symphony is a great word, what you said. Staley, on the Megapod on Thursday, we had Rufus Peabody, who was kind enough to join us also with Captain Jack here on a numbers game. But Rufus was talking about how, you know, this has been, you know, we got in a whole debate. I said Brandon Staley. I made the point that I thought in-game coaching is more important than preparation before a game. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously debatable. But we went down a few rabbit holes, to be honest with you. But that Brandon Staley, specifically Staley, but also the Stefanski getting it and pushing Eckler in the end zone. That was a thing of beauty yesterday.
It was brilliant on
brilliant.
Both. Well, I still think it was more brilliant for Stefanski, which he would have just taken a knee, for God's sake. Come on, Staley. Plus, like I said, the two would have been a thing of beauty.
You wanted to make a few points about
it. I do. We were talking about home field advantage very briefly, and then we got cut off. Home field advantage is pretty much non-existent. And I know Rufus has some numbers going back to, like, 2019. I take it back all the way to Bill Walsh. 80s, even into the 90s, he kind of figured out a way for that 49er team to travel and not face a disadvantage being away from home. And I think, you know, if you look at the tree of, you know, Walsh people who are now in the league, Andy Reid, you know, there's a bunch of them. I think they learned that too. And right now, Jeff Fogel, who I retweet an awful lot, Jeff Fogel does great analyses on college and pro football. He has one this morning, and he's been showing this for the last couple of weeks. Home field is essentially zero. Now, yeah. I still have some slight home fields because the market kind of dictates it, but it's really essentially zero. And yesterday, home teams were 5-8, and we had a neutral game. They were 5-8 against the spread. You know, I mean, it's non-existent.
And your Seattle home field's going to dissipate now that Russell Wilson is out, too. It's funny how that'll happen with home field, right?
Yeah.
If you're not good, you're just not good.
Yeah, and, you know, I have two teams with a three-point home field advantage, Green Bay and Denver. Denver, for a variety of reasons, being up in altitude. Green Bay just plays better at home. They just do. But mostly I got, like, ones and twos. I see a straight 2.5 here and there. You know, but home field is essentially nothing. By the way, just reminded me, I go through, like, a forensic analysis before on how we get to each and every number. And I do this for college and big games in college football and the whole thing in pro football.
Your articles are spectacular. Jeff DMs them to me every week.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Jeff, of course, helps me on the articles quite a bit. Quite a bit.
Getting back to what you said, Rufus Peabody, again, was on the Megapod. He did say that. And that's the thing, hanging out with Rufus, whenever he's on the show, you always learn something. And we're talking about how there's no home field this year. We kind of figured last year with no fans there wouldn't be. But his numbers, like 2019, if you go back and crunch the numbers, there was no home field in 2019 either. Jeff, you wanted to say something about that, too, yesterday. Chargers.
You basically just said it. If Anthony Lynn coached that game yesterday, that game is over in the third quarter.
Yes.
Because they would have punted on the 4th-and-2. Mm-hmm. They would have probably, they may have kicked the field goal on the 4th-and-8. They also probably would have never have adjusted at all offensively because there was some times early in the first half where Cleveland's pass rush did whatever they wanted and they were able to adjust and move Herbert out of the pocket. That led to a few big plays against that Cleveland secondary. That is a little bit of a problem. But in the end, that is as well-coached and as well-played of a game as we have seen since that Ram-Chief game on the Monday night at the Coliseum. And this game, again, to me, these are the two best teams in the AFC. I know Buffalo is going to be the favorite in the AFC, but I like these teams better than Buffalo.
I'm loving my 40-1 on Justin Herbert to win MVP, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Loving that. Listen. I'll say this again, too. It's not always going to work out. There's going to be some times he goes for it in situations and they're going to flame out and people are going to go after him. I'd much rather have that dude as my coach than anybody else. Now, I will say this. As great as his press conference was the other day where he was going through the running game mattering, he's starting to do that in every press conference. That's going to start to annoy people, right? That people are like, okay, we don't need to lecture every time, Brandon.
Well, here's the other thing, too, that I think he's figured out, and maybe a couple other coaches now have figured out, too. If you're running your offense, you can get 4-8 yards. Just because it's fourth down, there's not some magic.
Right.
You know, and before, it'd be 4th-and-1, you'd line up in that tight formation. The whole world knew you were going to sneak or get it to your fullback. I don't know if there's still fullbacks in this league.
Now, apparently, you don't sneak. No one sneaks anymore.
It's ridiculous. We had a 4th-and-goal from the 1, and the Jaguars line up.
Yeah.
You know, spread formation. You got a 6'5", 240-pound quarterback. At least have the threat of a sneak,
Only Tom Brady does. Only the 44-year-old. What's next, Joe?
Bengals at the Lions.
All right, well, we went through the Bengals' ridiculousness with all those missed kicks. Not much to say here. Joe Burrow was 26 of 38 for 281, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, sacked 3 times. Ja'Marr Chase does it again. 6 for 159 and a touchdown. And Detroit we covered. By the way, Cincinnati's still 3-2. Detroit somehow is 0-5, and I'll say this again, even before that sequence at the end that we described where the Lions, you know, got the fumble from Madison, and they scored, and then Dan Campbell went for 2, good on Dan Campbell, and they took a lead with less than a minute. You're like, how, you know, for that whole game, Detroit should have been in that game or should have been leading. Like, it was the week before, remember, where they had 3 first and goals against the Bears, and they couldn't get in the end zone. They couldn't score any points. I guess what I'm saying is they just figure out a way to lose. They shouldn't be 0-5, and yet here they are. Goff was 21 of 35 for 203, no touchdowns, 1 pick, sack 4 times. Cincinnati -3 at Detroit. I don't want to add any more.
It's 3.5. My number's going to be 2.5. I think I like the 3.5 a little bit better the more I look at it. A couple things here. First of all, I thought Jared Goff, when I went through the QBRs, total QBRs this morning, he was way down the list. And I thought he'd be up a little higher because one thing I said about Detroit not being as potentially bad as some of the other bottom of the league is they had a quarterback who was competent. I'm looking at the numbers. Boy, he's not really not been very good. The other thing, I have a friend on, and he's a personal friend of mine, a good follow on Twitter, QC. I think you know QC. Mm-hmm. He tweets us both.
Oh, yeah.
The quant coach. And yes. He has a way of an analyzing plays and play design. And he says Detroit's play design is still horrible. Now, I know they're playing their butts off for this guy, which I think that means a lot in football. It really does. But the play design, I have to respect QC. I'm not sure I'm quite ready to go there yet, but he really thinks their play design is horrible.
I don't know what it is about the Lions. You watch those games, and you're like, there's no reason they should be losing this football game. And yet they somehow just manage to they can matriculate down the field to a certain point, and then something inevitably goes wrong.
Yeah, I mean, they with a miracle, they still only scored 17 points.
Right.
So maybe QC's on to something here. But, like I said, my power range come to 2.5, but I think I like 3.5. The more I see that, I like that a little bit. By the way, Joe Burrow is a hell of a player.
He's amazing.
He's hurt. He's hurt his throat. So I'm assuming he's okay.
Throat contusion. Had to be taken to the hospital after the game. That was after his head got slammed in the turf, where it looked like, oh, my God, he's got to be concussed. He came right back in the game.
Yeah. Now, Zach Taylor, is he learning football a little bit? Because I've really knocked the heck out of this guy.
Well, we went through the kick of Zach Taylor going for it on fourth. Opting to kick a 49-yarder on fourth and short. By the way, LaFleur did the same thing. It just happened to work out for him in the end.
Thanks. One last note on the Lions.
Yes.
They are the first team in NFL history to lose two games in the same season on kicks of 50 yards or longer with no time left on the clock.
Oh,
and they've done it 2 times in 3 weeks.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Your Detroit Lions.
Should we try to be a Lions fan? I mean, I'm 65 years old. They've had so many brief little glimpses of just being good. You know, forget contender. I mean, being good.
Think about their two greatest players just walked away at the peak, Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson. Yeah. They're like, we can't take this anymore.
Yeah.
Those are my words, not theirs. Next.
Rams and Giants.
Rams played Thursday. Remember, they beat the Seahawks in that game, which we did the blow-by-blow. Stafford was 25 of 37 for 365, one touchdown, one pick. He sacked once. Henderson Jr., 17 for 82 and a touchdown. Woods, big day for Robert Woods, 12 catches for 150. Cooper Kupp, 7 for 92, 476 total yards. And the Giants lose to Dallas. Saquon Barkley, first quarter injury, 6:17 left. He rolls his ankle. He landed on Jordan Lewis of the Cowboys, carted off. Looked like he had a grapefruit in his ankle. Ruled out for the rest of the game. Daniel Jones carted off late second quarter, 3:14 left. After a third and goal run from the one, not a sneak, ran to the outside, concussed. Galladay, knee out. Jones ended up 5 of 13 for 98. Glennon, 16 of 25 for 196 in relief. Or Glennon, as Gruden called him. Kadarius Toney was great, 10 for 189. Then he got in the little fisticuffs. Cowboys beat Giants 44-20. But I don't know. We don't know about Saquon. We don't know about Daniel Jones. The Rams are going to be double digits. I said, I put 10.5 down.
That's exactly what I see. That's exactly what my power ratings come to. But boy, there's a lot of moving parts here. I don't see it going down much from the 10.5, but it could go up. It could go up. I'll probably open 10.5, but I'll be extremely careful with this game as I read the injury report.
That's what I said to my buddy who's a Washington fan. I was like, dude, we could be Giants fans. Geez. We could be Giants fans. It could be much worse right now. We'll come back. More guessing lines. Oh, those tennis picks. Those are next. We've got to talk about this boxing match the other night, too. Wilder and Fury 3. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Afternoon. Cardinals at Browns.
This is the first of the afternoon.
This is the
games?
First of the afternoon.
Cardinals at Browns, the only undefeated team in the National Football League. The Arizona Cardinals, 5-0. The Browns, 3-2, but I would still consider them among the elite despite that loss to the Chargers yesterday. Arizona, Kyler Murray yesterday in a 17-10 win over the Niners, which, Jeff, you were saying you had the Niners and you thought you had the right side.
I did.
I don't know about that.
Fair enough.
Trey Lance running the single wing. I don't know. Maybe. Do any of us have the right side in any of this?
That's a valid point.
That's another thing.
There's maybe like 20-25% of the games where you say, I clearly had the right
side.
That's
right.
You know,
if you're being honest, that's
the percentage. Yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay yesterday was clearly the right
Correct.
Side.
Kyler Murray in this win over the Niners, 22 of 31 for 239, one touchdown, no pick, sacked twice. DeAndre Hopkins, 6 for 87 and a touchdown. Man, is he great. And then Cleveland in that loss to the Chargers, 47-42. Baker Mayfield, I know you wanted to say something about Baker here, Chrissy. 23 of 32 for 306, two touchdowns, no picks, sacked once. Nick Chubb, 21 for 161 and a touchdown. Kareem Hunt, 12 catches for 61 yards and two touchdowns. Njoku, 7 catches for 149 and a touchdown. Peoples Jones, 5 for 70, 531 total yards in defeat, 230 rushing. In fact, the Browns are now the first team since the 1989 Bengals, with 150-plus rushing yards in each of the first five games of the season. You know what I remember about the 89 Bengals? That Jamie Morris had 45 carries for Washington in the final game of the season against them. That's all I remember.
Okay.
Allowed touchdowns. And by the way, of course, that Bengals team got to the Super Bowl and lost to Joe Montana.
That was the Icky Woods team, I think, right?
I don't know, but that was the Jonathan, that was the John Taylor touchdown at the end to beat him. Yeah. Allowed touchdowns, the Browns did, on the final four Chargers drives, excluding the kneel down. They allowed touchdowns on final four Chargers drives. I think Cleveland should be the favorite, and I made him a 3-point favorite here.
Wow, look at you.
What is it?
I see 2.5 with a ton of juice on Cleveland.
I think they should be the favorite.
My numbers came to pick them. I was finally getting convinced on the Cardinals a little bit here.
If on Primetime Action, we talk a lot about the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
And Matt Brown, my co-host, is convinced he's got them in like the top three power rated. Don't hold me to that, but definitely top five power rated, despite their 3-2 record. I'm with him to some degree.
I have, like I said, my grading system, I have them 7th. Power ratings, I have them way up there. And I still give them 2.5 points for home field, which is high according to my ratings. But I still thought this game should be more like a pick. I think I have my half-point favorite, Browns half-point favorite. I thought 2.5 was a little. I'm going to open 2.5, though, because I see a 2.5 with a lot of juice. And I'm sure they'll lay it to me, you know, because, you know, when guys see a 2.5 or a 3.5, there's two assumptions they make.
Yes.
Number one, the game's definitely coming 3.
Sure.
And number two, I'll never see that half point again in my life, so I have to pound the hell out of it.
That last part is so true. Oh, I better get there quick. He'll never be there.
Of course, with the Green Bay game, they were right.
The thing about Arizona, and the reason that I made the Browns 3-point favorites, is if Arizona can't shake Trey Lance and the Niners.
They did not play well yesterday.
Vanilla offense. And Cleveland has a great D, just like, you know, they have as one of the great Ds in the league, I think.
Again, going back to QBRs.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray, who I'm slow to acknowledge as being great, 32.5.
Slow to acknowledge.
Cleveland, Baker Mayfield, 53.0 for QBR. So, I mean, Baker played really well yesterday. I don't understand the Baker hate. I don't get it.
So, basically, Tom Brady by far had the best QBR. He's better than anyone, with the exception of maybe the same guys we would imagine, like Aaron Rodgers.
No, there's some other ones. I mean, okay. I think... Josh Allen had the best QBR yesterday.
Forgot about it.
We haven't gotten to him. But Tom Brady was right up there, 80.5.
Jeez.
There was one other guy.
I love that you're looking at QBR again.
Yeah, I'm looking. For the Chargers.
Justin Herbert.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, 84.8.
Ah, he's my guy. You know, I'd call him the MVP. I'd call Juan Soto the MVP of the NFL, and I'd call Justin Herbert the MVP of the NFL.
My
but that's
too.
Just me. I might be biased. We'll come back. More Guessing Lines. Numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Raiders at Broncos.
Raiders at Broncos. Well, that was the strangest performance of the week. The Raiders. Losing to a rookie quarterback, Justin Fields, who didn't put up numbers at all, as we described. The Bears go to 3-2. The Raiders fall to 3-2 after starting 3-0. Derek Carr, 22 of 35 yesterday for 206. No touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked 3 times. Missed some receivers. His receivers let him down some other times. The Raiders had 10 penalties for 82 yards. It's their third straight game without a takeaway. And they're traveling to Denver, who were also 3-0 and are now 3-2, both looking up at the Chargers in that division. Teddy Bridgewater, and this gets to your game with the Steelers, Teddy Bridgewater and the Broncos looked like they were dead in the water in this game. All of a sudden, you looked up, and I was like texting people. I was like, holy crap, Denver. Bridgewater, 24 for 38, 288, two touchdowns, one pick, sacked twice. Cortland Sutton, 7 catches for 120 and a touchdown. Tim Patrick, 7 catches for 89 for the Broncos against the Steelers yesterday. 4 punts and 2 field goals on their first 6 drives, dug themselves a hole, trailed 24-6 after the third quarter, and had a shot at this late, but end up losing 27-19. Denver minus 3.5 is what I guessed here.
My power ratings come to 3. I see it 3 with juice on the favorite, 3.5 juice on the dog. So it's one of those.
3.5 juice on the dog.
So here we go again.
Yeah.
Here we go again. It's going to be my week.
Yeah.
It's not quite as big a game as the Sunday night game was last night with the Bills and the Chiefs. But I'm going to do that dance all week, 3, 3.5. I think I'm going to open 3. They'll lay it to me because it's. For sure, the game's coming 3, and it'll be the last 3 that'll ever exist in handicapping.
In the history of handicapping. Yeah. I would like to say this. I have done quite accurately well picking lines here today, the exceptions being that Chargers-Ravens line makes no sense to me whatsoever. Give me the Chargers all day if I'm catching 3 or 3.5. And the other one was Houston, which I get why they're massive underdogs to Indianapolis, but I said 7.5, and you're telling me it was 10. Which I just don't think on principle the Colts should be 10-point favorites. I get they haven't played yet tonight. I don't think they should be 10-point favorites against anybody. The question is, am I racing to the window to bet the Texans? And the answer is no. One more afternoon game, Jeff?
Dallas at New England.
Oh, wow. So Dallas beats the Giants. As we talked about, though, the Giants were decimated. Saquon out in the first quarter. Daniel Jones out in the second. Kenny Golladay also out with a knee. Ankle for Saquon, concussion on Daniel Jones. So Dallas ends up rolling. By the way, the first part of that game, when they were down 3-0, Dallas had a second and goal at the 5. Late first quarter, Dak took his eyes off the snap and fumbled. Mm-hmm. And you thought, oh man, maybe this is a day where the Giants are going to have things go their way. No, in fact, worse beyond what we could have imagined. But Dak ends up 22 of 32 for 302, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked twice. Zeke, 21 for 110 and a touchdown. Pollard, 14 for 75 on the ground, 4 for 28 receiving. CeeDee Lamb, 4 for 84 and a touchdown. Dalton Schultz, 6 for 79. Amari Cooper, 3 for 60 and a touchdown. Dallas was 8 of 14 on third downs. They had 515 total yards of offense, 201 rushing. A very Cleveland Browns-esque scoring line. And then there's New England, who a lot of people had in Survivor. I was going to have them in Survivor, but as I mentioned earlier, once you knew about the offensive line woes, injuries, and COVID, I just couldn't take them anymore. I ended up with Minnesota. Both got through. New England was trailing 22-9, as we mentioned, to the Texans, and it looked like they were going to lose this outright. But Bill Belichick, who's 21-6 lifetime straight up versus rookies going into this, ends up 22-6 straight up against rookie quarterbacks. By the way, Tua did beat him last year, last time he lost to a rookie quarterback. By the way, did we clarify the Tua news from earlier?
I think Don Best might have jumped the gun there.
So you got okay, that from Don
That's
Don
I got
Best.
It from Don
Yeah,
Best.
Tua is eligible to be taken off IR. There has been no inclination that has happened yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I have not seen anything but Don Best reporting.
Okay. Thank you for that. Back to New England. Mac Jones, 23 of 30 for 231, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, sack once. Damian Harris, 14 of 58 and a touchdown, but he lost a fumble at the goal line. Remember, he blew that game week 1 with a fumble, one could argue, right, against the Dolphins. Those of us who had the Patriots that day certainly do argue that, with just over a minute left, had a fumble there. So you figure, like, in past seasons, if a running back for Bill Belichick fumbles once, let alone twice, it's doghouse for weeks. But I don't think the Patriots...
Or maybe career.
Or maybe career. I don't think the Patriots have that luxury anymore. Hunter Henry, 6 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown. As I mentioned, 22-9. The Patriots scored the last 16 points of that ball game yesterday. Win it, 25-22. Dallas has got to be a favorite, though, on the road against the Patriots. And Dallas may just run away with the NFC East. They're 4-1. Washington does have the get-out-of-jail-free stretch at the end of the year where they play 5 division opponents. But right now, it looks like it's Dallas's division. I'll say Dallas minus 4.5 on the road.
You're a shade high. Oh, I do see 1 4.5, but it's mostly 4. My power ratings come to exactly 4. Interesting, though, when I was looking at QBRs, you know, Dak 41.0 for yesterday. I thought that was weird. I thought it would be a lot higher than that. I mean, they scored a ton of points. We had a lot of help.
Remember, you and I, through the years, whenever you bring up total QBR, which is an ESPN stat,
right.
Total QBR, There are some very funny outcomes with individual games.
I like looking at it, but it's like a lot of other stats. It does not tell you the whole story. It's just one little piece of the puzzle that I do like to look at. 41.0 for Dak. I thought he played much better than that. For a guy that needed the Giants and was watching that game, he looked much better than below average, I would say.
Yeah.
And Jones, 66.2, which I was surprised. That was surprisingly high. So, you know, just a little weird. By the way, we never mentioned for the Raiders, Carr, 28.4 was his QBR. Not very good. And Teddy against the Steelers, 41.6. So both below average.
Since you bring it up, can we go back to the Raiders for a second?
Sure.
So the big thing this, you know, and it came up late Friday. We were already off the air on a numbers game. It came up late Friday, this off-the-field stuff, where a 2011 email with racial tropes from John Gruden were brought up. And usually on this show, because it's a numbers game, we don't really talk about things like that because I don't really put a whole bunch of stock into, you know, it being a distraction.
Yeah.
Though after that performance on Sunday, I think it is worth asking, do you think that was a distraction?
I don't know. I heard there were some players that went up to Gruden, gave him a big hug and says, we got your back. You know, we're okay. You know, black players. But, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. Without commenting too much.
It was the weirdest performance of the week.
Yeah, it took 10 years for that thing to come out, you know. And, you know, say what you will about it. Yeah, I was really stupid, you know, to put that on, you know, in print or in email, whatever it was.
Well, it's really stupid, period.
Yeah, it was really stupid. You know, so I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I tend to ignore those kind of things, too, because, you know, sometimes I think guys can rally behind a guy and sometimes they can not. You know, so I don't know.
And anyone who, you know, and Mike Tirico and Tony Dungy last night, anyone who has spent time with John Gruden, they all, to a man, seem to stand behind him. So, I mean, I'm not making a judgment at all about John Gruden. What I'm saying is, do you think the whole kerfuffle, if I can use that word, kerfuffle, is that on the bingo card? Do you think that, because I just don't ask that because they end up losing at home to a rookie quarterback who did virtually nothing, and they're dropping balls, they're missing receivers.
It was a horrible performance.
Horrible performance. Yeah. That was the biggest survivor loss for people yesterday, those who had the Raiders.
Kerfuffle on the British bingo
on the British,
version.
On the British version of this. But back to Dallas at New England, anything else on that? So you're putting up what on that?
I'm putting up four. Like I said, I see mostly four. I see one 4.5, but I'm going to use four.
You're going to use four. Okay. All right. We got the primetime games to get to week six in the National Football League. And I'm thinking about survivor picks here so far this coming week. Yeesh. Indianapolis, I guess, so far.
Have you used the Rams
already? The Rams. No, I haven't used the Rams. I could use the Rams. So Rams and Indy right now are looking like the two teams, right? The Rams and Indy. Because the Rams may not be playing. Who knows who the Giants are going to have?
I know. But, like I said, that's only going up, I think.
But you might want to save the Rams, too. That's the thing. All right, we'll come back. Primetime games, week six. Guessing lines right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday Night Football in Pittsburgh. The Steelers welcome Geno Smith and the Seahawks.
Oh, yes. I always know when Jeff's laughing. It's what's to come must be awesome. Seattle at Pittsburgh. Seattle's got extra rest. Let's give them that much. The 2-3 Seahawks against the 2-3 Steelers. So Russell Wilson, again, just rehashing Thursday, was 11 of 16 for 152, and then he jams his finger on Aaron Donald's, was his shoulder pad in the end? Kind of tough to read what he jammed it on. But anyway, came in for one more drive, and that was the end of that, one more sequence. And they are targeting now for Russell Wilson's return, week 10.
Yeah.
We're just headed into week 6.
Yeah.
Now, I said on this show many times that I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if it's because Russell Wilson will be a little older and can't put on his Superman cape and escape, you know, get the Seahawks out of jams. But whenever that day comes, this team is going to fall off a cliff. Well, that day may have come. Geno, by the way, in relief. Can we give Geno Smith some juice, though? He was great the other night, all things considered. 10 of 17 for 131, one touchdown, one pick. He was not sacked. DK Metcalf, 5 for 98, two touchdowns. But it is Geno Smith, and it's not Russell Wilson. More importantly, the last part of that sentence, it's not Russell Wilson. And so Pittsburgh, who beat Denver, as we talked about, Big Ben. I'm curious as your thoughts, what your thoughts are on Big Ben, because we got into a little megapod debate on Big Ben, too, where Todd Wishnev keeps saying, it's not Big Ben's fault, to which all of us in chorus say, well, it's kind of his fault, too. Big Ben was 15 of 25 for 253, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. Najee, 23 for 122 on the ground and a touchdown, two catches for 20. Chase Claypool, 5 for 130 and a touchdown. Deontay Johnson, 2 for 72 and a touchdown in their win over Denver. Again, staving off a Broncos comeback. But a potential devastating injury while the Steelers are waiting on the Juju Smith-Schuster issue.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good. Pittsburgh's going to be, it's Geno, it's not Russell Wilson. So, I mean, this is probably Pittsburgh minus 6. And if it were Russell Wilson, this wouldn't even be 3.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, my power ratings come to 3, and I don't think I've properly adjusted for Geno Smith, because I'm with you. Who's the guy, since we've been doing this podcast, I've been telling you I hate rooting against this guy, and I'm wind up rooting against him every week because of my wallet.
Russell Wilson. Yeah.
And I kind of think you're right. So I think I need to downgrade Seattle even more than I have, because I buy into what you say. Meanwhile, the number's 4.5. I see a 5 out there. I think I like the 5 best. I think that's what I'm going to open. It does kind of put you in no man's land. Interesting note, though. When I was going through QBRs, Geno Smith and Russell Wilson had the exact same QBR.
In that game. Yeah.
52.7, which is pretty good, because Geno did play well.
One was 11 for 16 for 152, and the other was 10 of 17 for 131. Makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, so he played well, but it is Geno Smith. Ben, 75.9, his best performance so far of the year. I'm somewhere between Wishnev and the rest of you guys, because I think the offensive line, I was naturally reading a lot of stories this morning about the Steelers. The offensive line played really well. It's a really young offensive line. Three guys, essentially, who are pretty much rookies. Are they getting better? You know, maybe. I mean, it's hard to say after one game. But Najee Davenport, it looked like the guy that they drafted and what they wanted him to be. Big Ben was hit like twice. I mean, hit twice, sacked 0 times. All that is a prescription for a victory, because Big Ben, you know, I know he's 39, but he's not Tom Brady. He's just not. He's got to be a game manager. He's got to make the occasional throw, an occasional big pass down the field, and he's done that yesterday. It was very, very good. Is that sustainable for the rest of the year? I don't know. But the defense is still really good. You know, they led Denver back in that game yesterday, which is a little disappointing. I don't think T.J. Watt is fully back from his injury yet. You know, so there's a lot of good things with the Steelers, but a lot of question marks too. I'm an open five. I think that's an okay number. I don't know. I think we'll learn a lot about this team this week, even though they're playing a team without their star.
You brought up old Steeler Najee Davenport as well. When obviously you meant Najee Harris.
But Najee Harris.
Yeah.
But I say Najee Davenport.
Yeah, it's just Najee's. I forgot that they had a previous Najee.
They had another Najee. They had another Harris too, by the way. Long time.
Oh, many times.
He was pretty good.
Yes. Oh, that guy. That was one of the few times in life where you got annoyed with me because I dared say something wrong about Franco Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't do
that. It's too soon. Too soon. He did kind of run out of bounds a lot, though.
Yeah. Like I said, the weight of those four Super Bowl rings, the momentum carried him out of them.
I see. That was it. Monday night.
The Bills at the Titans.
All right. So the Bills. Look, this was just unbelievable last night from them. The Chiefs looked outmanned every which way. In the end, Josh Allen only completed 15 passes. This was the amazing thing about last night. He only completed 15 passes. He was 15 of 26 for 315 yards. Boop, 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 boop. That's 21 yards a pass. A completion. Pardon me. 21 yards a completion. And it's like every time he would have time, which was like basically every time, somebody was just going downfield. It was like, okay, Knox, you just keep drifting further and further downfield. I'll get you eventually. The tight end. And it wasn't just Knox. It was anybody who was out there. It was an incredible performance. So Buffalo has now led at halftime in 14 straight regular season games. Now, on the surface, that doesn't seem like much. That's an NFL record. Think about that. Because obviously you only have 30 minutes to go ahead. 14 straight games they've led at halftime. NFL record. Allen was 15 of 26 for 315, three touchdowns, no picks, wasn't sacked. 11 carries for 59 yards and a touchdown. That was the other thing. He knew exactly, he could read that defense to a T. He was like, oh, I'm going up the gut and I'm going to slide and everybody's going to be annoyed that they can't touch me. Knox, speaking of Dawson Knox, 3 for 117 and a touchdown. 436 total yards for the Bills. They did give up a whole bunch. 10 penalties for 103 yards. They overcame that. And again, one last shout to the referees in that game. And I don't mean shout in a good way. You can call a penalty on any play in the National Football League.
Pretty much.
They tried doing it last night. It was so unwatchable at one point. Again, that sequence at the beginning of the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter when it was 31-20. And it was like the phantom hold followed by the phantom roughing the passer. You're like, what am I watching? Tennessee, the one team we haven't really talked about today, they beat Jacksonville. We did mention that when we're talking about Jacksonville. Tennessee ends up winning it pretty handily. Tannehill, 14 of 22 for 197, one touchdown, no picks, sacked three times, three carries for 21. Derrick Henry, what a luxury. 29 carries for 130 yards, three touchdowns. Tennessee plus two in turnovers in that ball game. So Tennessee ends up rolling the Jags 37-19, easily covering the four. That game goes over the 48.5 as well. But that's a Derrick Henry show. Buffalo's going to be a favorite. I think they're more than a 3-point favorite. I said Buffalo minus four.
4.5. My numbers come to 5.5. I'm going to open at 5. I just see the public bet in Buffalo, and I'm not that sure they'd be wrong. By the way, talking about QBR, Josh Allen, 91.6. Tannehill, 74.1. Interesting note about Josh Allen. He had virtually no scholarship offers coming out of high school.
Just Wyoming. That's the only
one? No, he went to a junior college
first.
Then went to Wyoming.
Oh.
And then when he got drafted, I was among those guys saying, boy, I'm not so sure about this guy's a first-round draft choice.
Me too.
Then that first year, he was wildly inaccurate.
Which is what he was in college.
Yeah. It's okay, well, this guy's just not going to be that good.
And people like Dr. Bob will tell you, accuracy is the one thing you can't improve on.
Until now. I don't know what happened to this guy because he is so good.
Jordan Palmer might have happened to him.
Maybe. Carson's He's been
brother.
A great QB coach, for sure.
It's amazing. You don't really see that.
I know we're running out of time. I have to change one thing. Jeff Parlay, The Dolphins, I'm going to open 3.5 instead of 4 because of, I don't know about Tua.
What do you like best? Because I'll be honest with you, most weeks I've liked more. That hasn't served me well, quite frankly, so I'm almost happy I only like the Chargers here.
Yeah, that right now, that's the only game I like right now, too. I'm going to have to look a little further. A couple I kind of lean, but I'd like the Chargers.
I like Houston, but again, I'm not rushing to the window to bet.
I wouldn't rush to
that one. I will walk, perhaps,
I think
slowly.
I like the Dolphins a little bit, too, though.
You might be able to talk me into Dallas, but maybe not.
Come on, the Jags.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Guessing Lines. We'll do it again next week. Lombardi Line next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.